I was ready to meet new people. I didn't necessarily have the same ideas as a lot of the people in my small town. And so I was like, this is my chance to meet new people.
This is Alicia, and welcome to the College Life Podcast. The College Life Podcast is here to provide you with ideas on how college students can design their life, be mindful and intentional about what they're doing while they are in college. We will also interview people who have already graduated from college, who currently work at a college, and current college students. Each guest will share their story, their struggles, their successes, and offer you tips on how to take ownership and make the most of your time while you're in college. Let's get to it. Welcome to the College Life Podcast. Today I have with me one of my good friends that I've met in Colorado, and her name is Bree, and she is going to reflect a little bit about her college journey and share some words of wisdom to listeners. So first off, Bree, why don't you introduce yourself a little bit and tell us how you ended up in college?
All right. Awesome. Thank you, Alicia, for having me. Hello, everyone. So just a little bit about my background. I am from Ohio. So like Alicia said, we met here out in Colorado, and I'm from very small town, rural community, farm, graduated with around 80 people in my graduating class and mixtures of things that people were doing after graduation. So some people were going to do things like become a mechanic and go to a trade school, work on the family farm. But my core group of friends, we knew we wanted to pursue college. So I had a peer group that was also going to college and figured I would stay in state because of financial reasons. There are also a ton of colleges in Ohio. So for real, lots of options. And I went on quite a few campus tours as my junior year approached and senior year approached. I am an only child, so I didn't necessarily have any sibling help, but my dad is a college graduate, so I did have that advantage of not necessarily being in that first gen category. I was privileged to have my dad went to college. He has a master's degree, so knew a little bit of the ropes from my dad. And my dad also worked in the school system. He was my guidance counselor at my elementary school, and he taught high school for several years before that. So he definitely had a lot of information. So knew college, traveled around Ohio to a couple different schools, and eventually landed on Kent State University, which was about 3 hours from home. And then what was appealing to me was that no one else from my high school was going there. So I knew I was ready to meet new people. I didn't necessarily have the same ideas as a lot of the people in my small town. And so I was like, this is my chance to meet new people and go somewhere new and start my own chapter. So went to Kent State about 3 hours away and knew that I loved working with people. I wanted to do something that I could talk to people. And I thought I wanted to be a journalist and be on TV. So I started out in communication studies, and Kent State has great communication programs that you can really narrow down into different concentrations or do broadcast journalism. And so that's what I started in, and joined the radio station and the TV station at Kent State my freshman year. And pretty much knew that after editing a lot of film and running around all day, like gathering video clips, that TV was not for me. I just liked the idea of the on-screen part and not all of the behind the scenes, like editing video and that type of thing. So eventually then settled on communication studies with an interpersonal focus because I wanted to talk more with people, and I still had no idea from there, like what I was gonna do. So
did that freak you out at all at that moment?
Yeah, I would say so, just because you go in thinking like, okay, this is what I'm gonna do. And none of my friend groups, and my friend group my freshman year was really my floor community in my residence hall. So I made a lot of connections with girls that I lived with inside the hall, and they all had settled a little bit more on what they were doing or had more of a direct path. Like my roommate, she was going to be a nurse. my other two friends were going to be teachers. So very direct paths where communication studies is so general that you're like, I don't know what I'm doing with this, but I'm going to communicate. So yeah, I would say I was a little bit uneasy, but my dad, again, he's always been a great role model for me and mentor for me. And he was always supportive of like, Bree, you're going to figure it out. And so I was lucky to have a dad who was there and really guiding me to be open. And he's like, you'll figure it out. Like, I'm still figuring out what I'm going to be when I grow up. Like, that was the kind of messages I was hearing from home, which is different from what a lot of other students experience. And so I think I had that to fall back on.
No, that's so refreshing too. It just makes you feel like, okay, yeah, I do. I can figure this out. It's going to be okay.
Yes, yes, exactly. So yeah, it's definitely college. When you get there, one thing leads to the next and you're like, okay, here I am now.
Oh, yeah, it's so true. And that's how life is in general too. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all still trying to figure it out.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So you mentioned, you know, you went to a college where you didn't know anybody.
Yes.
So, and that you started making friends with people on your hall. So how did you go about doing that for maybe a new student who's coming on campus and doesn't really know anybody and is nervous about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely scary. And reflecting back on the first day of moving, I remember crying as my parents drove away and just walking back into the residence hall and being like, I'm here, like alone right now. But I think putting yourself out there, I very nervously went across the hallway and asked the girls, hey, would you want to go to this poster sale that they're having in the bookstore with me? And little did I know that those two girls were still going to be super close friends in my life. And they just came out here to Colorado to visit me. And they're in my wedding, which that I always try to like shy away from. I always feel like people are like, you're going to meet your best friend in college. And it's okay if you don't. I just happened to meet two really awesome friends that lived across the hall from me. And so it's awkward at first. And I would say advice is, your friends from high school are probably, your friends in college are going to be different than your friends from high school. And so I met lots of different people who had come from different life experiences and just wore different clothes than me, had different interests than me, liked different music than me, which was so refreshing because I felt like in high school it was a lot of the same people that I had grown up with since kindergarten. And so when I met these people on my first floor, we all had such different interests and backgrounds, and we would not have been probably in the same social circles in high school, but that's what made it really cool. So I would say just being brave, like it's awkward at first. I remember asking like, can I have your phone number? Like just to make friends.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, adding each other on Snapchat now would probably be like the first step, or following them on Instagram. And I went to floor events and got involved in the residence hall. I knew I liked student council, so I joined hall council and knew I wanted some sort of like leadership role in that. And so some of that came from confidence of doing experiences like that in high school and taking that to college. But even if you aren't ready to take on something like that your first year, because you got to take things slow. I know I joined a lot my first semester, and then I had to take a couple of things away for my second semester of my freshman year, because first semester I was like, I'm going to be in hall council and I'm doing the radio and I'm doing TV and I'm trying to go to this church, like all these different things. And then just second semester had to backpedal a little bit.
Yeah. And it's hard to know what to get involved with a lot versus, hey, I'm just going to go to this club organization meeting, you know, once a month, every now and then, just to
exactly
kind of get some information or whatever, versus being fully engaged and being a leader, like in hall council, making decisions, all of those mm-hmm. elements.
Yeah, for sure.
So I can think of maybe a couple times, okay, a lot of times, where I wanted to go to something and I didn't go because I was scared. Do you remember any times like that?
For sure. I think there have been multiple things, even now as an adult, where I'm invited to things.
Yeah, it's so true.
And so, yes, I think that there are times all the time through life that we're going to be invited to a table or a new experience. And if it pushes us out of our comfort zone a little bit, it can be scary. And so finding a buddy is something that can be beneficial. Having those like 7 seconds of insane courage. I don't know where that's from. I feel like my friends always told me that. Is that from a movie?
I don't know.
It's from something. We'll have to look that up. But anyways, there's this tagline of like have 7 seconds of like insane courage. And that's all it takes to say yes to a new opportunity that maybe you haven't before. And you never know what that could lead to. Mm. Obviously, like within reason, I don't want people doing something that like so out of their comfort zone that you're in danger. But, you know, there are definitely times when certain clubs or like a social event. I know one thing that really stepped me out of my comfort zone during college that I went to was I attended Africa Night at Kent State University, and it was a huge celebration of African culture. And there was food and presentations and dance. And a lot of the population were people of color and their friends. And so being, I'm a white woman. And so coming from like a small, very rural white town, I had never really been visually present in a room where I was the minority. And so that was very cool and very powerful. And like going there and getting to be surrounded by different people was really cool. So that's an event too, where I was like, okay, should I go to this? Are people gonna think that it's weird that I'm there? But just having that buddy, a friend who's like, you're really gonna love this. I want to bring you to this event, and just doing it. And that's still one of the like coolest events I went to in college.
Yeah, that's really awesome. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
So kind of speaking of other kind of meaningful experiences, what other experiences did you have in college that you really, really changed maybe who you were, that you learned a lot from, or that were really powerful in, just a powerful experience in college?
Definitely. I can think of a lot. I'm trying to think of one that I can specifically talk about. The first thing that comes to mind is being a flash guide or orientation leader at Kent State University. So that basically, since I went to orientation as a high school student going to college, I was like, I want to be an orientation leader. Those people look like they're having so much fun. When I come here, I want to do that. And so my freshman year going into my sophomore year, I applied, and I was so confident that I was getting it that I didn't interview or line up any other summer jobs back at home for the summer, because I was like, I'm going to get this flash guard job and I'll have housing and food. Well, I found out I did not get the position. And so that was super impactful, because it was something that I had put a lot of confidence in, maybe gotten a little too arrogant about my qualifications for the role. And I remember it was one of my first big job interviews, and I had not prepared. And I was asked questions that now I look back on and think, oh, I that was not a good answer. And so that experience, though, taught me a lot, because that summer I ended up babysitting here and there and just having like a very low-key summer. And again, I had the, you know, the privilege of being able to go home and still stay with my parents for that summer. And they were there for me. But the following summer came around and I was like, should I still apply? I'm feeling a little discouraged about this, but I knew it was still something I really wanted to do. And so I sort of put that bad interview and discouraging summer behind me. And I had thought about all the ways I had grown my sophomore year with new experiences, getting to know more people, having more interview practice, and really feeling more comfortable and confident in myself and my college experience. So applied and I got it this time. So that was amazing. And then that summer was probably the time in my life that I knew I wanted to work in student affairs. So I didn't say that in my introduction of like what I'm doing now, but now I am out here in Colorado working in higher education student affairs. And really that summer when I was working with students through their transition and orienting them to college was when I was like, this is what I want to do. I want to continue supporting and helping students. So that's the aha moment when I started asking my advisors and my supervisor, what do you do for a living? How can I do your job? Is this something I can do full time? Like, I want to do this. So that's how I sort of got introduced to student affairs. So it was definitely a roller coaster ride to getting to become that student leadership role, but then it ultimately led to what I'm doing now and really finding my passion for helping students.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's so good. There's so many things in there that I could go into. So I would love, first off, I think it's really amazing that you talked about how you didn't get it the first year and then you tried again the second year, because there are so many self-doubt, I think, so much self-doubt happening in our heads that says, oh, I guess I'm not good enough. If, you know, you already kind of feel like, oh, maybe I'm not good enough, or even maybe, I got this. And then somebody says, nope, closing that door for you.
Mm-hmm.
You could just say, oh, you could go into a deep, dark path of saying, oh, I'm not good enough. They didn't want me. You can go very, very negative or very low self-esteem. And then you can never try out for anything ever again or apply to things again because you're afraid to go for it because you might not get it again. And then what happens if you continue to fail?
Right.
That is just super scary, I think. So I think it's so amazing that you reflected on your experience, you learned from it, and then you said, you know what, I'm going to just try it again and see what happens. And then look where it led you. Like, it totally changed everything in your path. And it's amazing. There's so many things that we just don't realize that are available on college campuses, but they're there just waiting for us to take advantage of them and grow. Oh, it's so cool.
Yes. Oh, 100%.
So what other things did you learn during that time about yourself? So were you an orientation leader then your junior or the rest of the time in college?
I was for that one last summer, just one summer between my sophomore and junior year.
Okay.
And then my junior year, I was also an RA.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
So
it was kind of those back-to-back experiences that I really started to fine-tune, like, yes, I want to pursue student affairs and continue working with college students. And because I was an orientation leader, I actually found out through some of the other leaders that there was a class that I could take for 3 credits that was an introduction to careers in student affairs course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't have probably found that as quickly or in time, just if I wouldn't have happened to talk to those people, meet those people, have those conversations and build those relationships. And yeah, you don't know what you don't know. I didn't even know that you could work in college forever.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, wait, that's a job?
Right, exactly. Which I'm sure fellow student affairs professionals you've had on the podcast before have said that, but it's really that hidden career that you don't know about until you're in the college setting.
Yeah, it's so true. So you went to graduate school right after your undergraduate experience, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
So how did you go about that decision?
Yes. So I knew because I took that class I just mentioned that I had the resources available because that class taught me how to write a cover letter, how to write a resume, and really introduced us to how to search for graduate schools. So I was able to really start the process early. And my junior year, I was already starting to think about, okay, where would I want to go to graduate school? I knew that communication studies was an awesome major, but I didn't know what I would want to do specifically with that. And so it soon became clear, like, I should just go for grad school. I enjoy school. I enjoy learning. I think it sounds like a great next step. And so I decided to go to something called the Oshkosh Placement Exchange, which is a large job fair interview conference for both professionals and graduate students and undergrads going to grad school to do a search for assistantships. And I had actually applied to several schools first and just thought, oh, I'm definitely going to get into one of these. Again, like very overconfident. And then I applied to like top schools in student affairs and I got denied from all of them. And so that was a little bit crushing. And again, sort of trying to like pump myself up to be like, okay, like you didn't get into any of these, but you're still going to OPE and trying to still feel confident in myself for all of those interviews. That was definitely hard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember I got the news. I just left a PIO class and I was with friends. I was like, I just got this email. This is my dream grad school. Like, should I open it now? And they're like, do it. And I had the no. And so I was like, I got to go home, y'all. I need some time to process. So processed. And then the conference, though, led me to my graduate school experience that I wouldn't have thought about before, which was getting my master's degree at Kansas State University. So found my love for Kansas State just through meeting the people there at the interview process and interviewed with a bunch of different schools. So I really got to see who I vibed well with from that experience. But I would say that that class helped me a lot. I had an advisor from my senior leadership role who helped review my cover letter and resume for me, helped me with some mock interview questions. And really, if I didn't ask them, they weren't going to push me to have their help a lot just because they wanted me to have my own space. And so I had to sort of decide, okay, who all do I want to ask for help for this or for this? And some of my other peers who were also going through the graduate search at that same exact time went to OPE with me. And so it was also a matter of trying not to compare each other of like who has more interviews. And I remember that also was super hard for me because that's something I still struggle with is comparing myself to others. And the girls that I traveled there with both had like 15 interviews set for the weekend and I had 7. I was like, I really hope that I can get an assistantship and get into graduate school still.
Yeah. And assistantships are, just in case anybody's listening who doesn't know what that is, that basically helps you pay for school and it gives you tuition. And then also gives you a stipend as well. And then you work for the university. So you're not only gaining experience, but then you're also going to school for free.
Exactly. Totally. Yeah. If the field you're looking to pursue graduate school has some sort of teaching assistantships or any sort of graduate assistantships, talk with the connections you make there to ask them how you can make grad school free or affordable.
Yes, yes, yes. Because I had no idea that those things existed and you probably wouldn't have either.
No.
Except for, you know, getting connected and getting that support to help you get there.
Exactly. Without people telling me like, Bree, you need to ask these questions and you should not go to graduate school if you have to pay for it in full, I wouldn't have known. I would have just signed up.
Yeah. And so many people do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, just to close up some of our time here, what words of wisdom would you offer for any student who is maybe transitioning to college for the first time or just anybody in college? Yeah, any words of wisdom?
Yeah, so just some of the things we've talked about overall, don't compare yourself to others. You're on your own journey. You're on your own path. Be open-minded to trying new experiences and becoming friends with people that you wouldn't have thought you'd ever become friends with, based off of previous friendships in your life. And then there is a short story that I'd like to share with you all on the podcast that was given to me. So in high school, one of my best friends, her mom, read this short story to my friend and all of her siblings throughout their like time growing up and before they would go to college. And so I loved reading it when I would go over to their house. She had it framed in a little quote on their wall. And so for my high school graduation gift, she gave me my own copy.
Aw, that's so cool.
Yes. So I have it with me now still. And I like posted in my house. I think I brought it to every place I lived in college definitely in grad school. And so let me pull it up and read this for you all. It kind of just explains itself, but overall, I'll just introduce it as it is about living in the moment and not counting down just into the next thing. So this is called The Station by Robert J. Hastings. Want to make sure I give credit where credit is due. And so here it goes. Tucked away in our subconscious minds is an idyllic vision. We see ourselves on a long, long trip that almost spans the continent. We're traveling by passenger train, and out the windows, we drink in the passing scene of cars on nearby highways, of children waving at a crossing, of cattle grazing on a distant hillside, of smoke pouring from a powder plant, of row upon row of corn and wheat, of flatlands and valleys, of mountains and rolling hills, of a biting winter and blazing summer, and spring and fall. But uppermost in our minds is the final destination. On a certain day, at a certain hour, we will pull into the station. There will be bands playing and flags waving. And once we get there, so many wonderful dreams will come true. So many wishes will be fulfilled, and so many pieces of our lives finally will be neatly fitted together like a completed jigsaw puzzle. How restlessly we pace the aisles, damning the minutes for loitering, waiting, waiting, waiting for the station. However, sooner or later, we must realize there is no one station, no one place to arrive at once and for all. The true joy of life is the trip. The station is only a dream. It constantly outdistances us. When we reach the station, that will be it, we cry. Translated, it means, when I'm 18, that will be it. When I buy a new 450 SL Mercedes-Benz, that will be it. When I put the last kid through college, that will be it. When I've paid off the mortgage, that will be it. When I win this promotion, that will be it. When I reach the age of retirement, that will be it, and I shall live happily ever after. Unfortunately, once we get it, then it disappears. The station somehow hides itself at the end of an endless track. Relish the moment is a good motto. It isn't the burdens of today that drive men mad. Rather, it is the regret over yesterday or fear of tomorrow. Regret and fear are twin thieves who would rob us of today. So stop pacing the aisles and counting the miles. Instead, climb more mountains, eat more ice cream, go barefoot more often, swim more rivers, watch more sunsets, laugh more, and cry less. Life must be lived as we go along. The station will come soon enough.
Yeah, I think that is really powerful. I can think about whenever I was in college, especially, I was thinking about, so a lot of my friends were getting married shortly after college. So I started feeling that, not pressure, but I was like, well, when is it going to happen to me? And then I found like the person that I thought I was supposed to be with. And, you know, I'm married to him now, but at the time we dated for like 6 years, I think, or 5 years before we got married. And we started dating when I was 22. But I felt like, okay, well, once I get married, then I'm going to be happy. And that was like, almost like, or once I graduate college, or once I graduate, finish my master's, once I pursue that PhD or whatever it is. And then it's so true. It just keeps going and you almost are like kicking the can down the road instead of enjoying the moment. And I think it takes work to actually just live and be engaged in the moment and with who you're around and what you're doing. And to really just love that. And I think there are so many things that we miss if we just keep trying to move forward. It's like you're trying to stay on the track and you're missing all these things because you're not just like stopping and like sitting and enjoying that sunset or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you and I have had conversations through other book clubs and stuff of the same topic. And I feel like I even have to remind myself of this short story a lot because right now I'm planning a wedding. And so there are moments where I'm like, oh, well, I won't have any stress once the wedding's over. And, oh, I won't have any stress after this. And I remember doing that in undergrad and then during grad school and now in my first professional job. And it's so true. It just, if we count down, the countdown will always reset itself for something else. And I have, that's why I have this short story posted in my house to like try to remind me to live in the moment and remember that it's a journey. So I have to, it's work for sure.
Yeah. Why do you think it was so powerful for you specifically when you were like later in your high school career, kind of moving to college?
Yeah, I think just that same thought. I feel like through my senior year of high school, I just didn't enjoy it because I was counting down until college. And then, you know, college senior year, I feel like I didn't enjoy as much because I was either stressed out about grad school or counting down until grad school. And so it's always that transitional time when there's a lot of change coming or something better or what we think is going to be better seems around the corner, that we don't appreciate all of the great things that are happening to us now. And so I look back at like senior year of high school and there were so many fun things that happened that year. And even though I was excited and anticipating college, that's okay. You can be excited for it, but just not losing sight of the day-to-day joys of high school and seeing, for me, a lot of my close friends for the full day in the hallway and, you know, just little things like that that I didn't appreciate before going to college. And then for college, that senior year, I was stressed out about grad school, so I wasn't enjoying, you know, having a meal with friends or going out for ice cream or something. Maybe I would make an excuse like, oh, I have too much to do. So I think that's why it was really powerful during that transitional time. And also just having someone who was older share that wisdom with me. My friend's mom, it was in her 50s. She's still in her 50s, but in her 50s at the time. And just hearing her say, you girls, like, you're in the good old days right now. And not that your 50s are a beautiful time of life as well. And she would say that too, like she's in an awesome new stage of life right now. But she would always tell us like, try to remember these moments. And I just remember thinking like, wow, this is going to be powerful one day. And I don't fully understand it right now, but this poem I can appreciate and I can connect with it because I know I do this and it was easy to understand and something I could relate to.
Yeah, that's so good. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for sharing your energy, your time, and your story with us. Yeah, I just really appreciate your time. So thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thanks for having me, Alicia.
So I just really wanted to wrap up this conversation and really highlight that living in the moment piece that Bree just talked about at the end of the episode. Really, if you can just take a second, close your eyes and think about, okay, what's happening right now? What am I feeling? And you open your eyes and you look around and you're going to see things differently. Look around. Look, what do you notice? What are you observing? And the more that you can do this, the more that you can engage in your environment and really appreciate what's happening in the moment instead of just rushing on to that next thing. Again, that's something that Bree and I both struggled with in the past, and I still continue to struggle with it, but I'm trying to train my brain to think differently about life and to really appreciate every single moment that we have, because we only have so many left on this earth. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. If you want to stay connected, please follow me on Instagram at The College Life Coach. I would love for you to connect with me on there. And I hope to catch you in the next one.